is Christianity different from every other religion? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And you can email us with your questions. Here's the email address. It's questions@corechristianity.com. First up this morning, we've got a good news story to share with you. And I love this one, Adriel. Turning 12 years old during home isolation orders doesn't make for a very exciting birthday. But for one Houston boy, his birthday turned out to be more memorable than anybody would have expected. Brandon Smith had his 12th birthday coming up, and his dad, Jody, wanted to find an alternative to help him celebrate while still obeying stay-at-home orders during the coronavirus. Brandon loves maps, so his dad turned to Twitter with a simple request. Reply to a picture of Brandon holding his hand-drawn map of the world and tell him where you are so he could mark it down. Well, responses came in by the thousands. Pictures of oceanside views from Trinidad and Tobago, shots of downtown Rio in Brazil, nighttime scenes from Istanbul. Even businesses like BMW sent Brandon a birthday greeting all the way from Munich, Germany. How is that for a good birthday?
Oh, that sounds pretty neat, but it also sounds like a lot of work for poor Brandon. So he's going to be marking down all these places on his map. He's got, well, right. I guess it's something to do during the stay-at-home order, huh?
There you go. I was just hoping that BMW would send him a free car, but that didn't happen. All right. Well, let's go to our first call of the day. And this one is from Barbara.
I would like to know if you have to be baptized and submerged completely underwater to get to heaven. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Barbara. The short answer is no. And I think it sounds like there are really two questions here. One has to do with the mode of baptism. You know, do you have to be completely submerged all the way underneath the water? And the other one is just about the nature of baptism, Barbara, right? What does baptism do? Well, first, regarding the mode, I believe on the basis of scripture that it isn't so much whether you're dunked or sprinkled, but that water is used in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the sort of different practices are as old as the Gospels. There's this ancient writing known as the Didache, probably written around the time of the Gospels. And it has actually this section is written by believers, and there's a section in it that talks about how to baptize. And it says, hey, you know, ordinarily you want to baptize, you know, in a stream or something like that, cold water. But if you don't have enough water to get dunked, well, you can sprinkle or pour. And so it seems like there were different modes throughout the history of the church that were viewed as acceptable. But it doesn't matter if the ancient church did this or how ancient a certain practice is. The question is it biblical? And that's something I always want you to ask yourself as you think about questions that you have and answers even that we give on this program. Is that a biblical answer? Well, sometimes the word baptism in scripture, it's the word baptizo, is used to depict sprinkling or pouring. For example, Jesus said that his disciples would be baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then what happened? In the book of Acts, we're told that the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. The word baptized is also used by Jesus to describe the ceremonial hand washing that the Pharisees would do. And it's also used to describe the essence of what baptism accomplishes. So I want to give you one verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see the sort of interplay there with sprinkling and washing, this sort of baptismal imagery. Baptism, though, by itself doesn't save anyone. God's grace, his promises, his love are all exhibited in baptism, but apart from faith, no one will be saved. Last thing, Barbara, having said that, let me just say, I think as a general rule, many of our churches take baptism too lightly. We treat it as an empty sign or a symbol. It's primarily seen as something I am doing for God instead of God's gracious washing, his gift to his people. It's first and foremost about what God has done in the gospel, not about you. God saves us by washing away our sins, and baptism shows us this promise tangibly, and it extends it to us. And so you don't have to be completely submerged in order to be one truly baptized, I would say. And faith is what saves us. It's not baptism by itself. Baptism is the sign of that salvation that God gives to us by faith.
Great response, Adriel. Let's go to an email question that came in from John. Why are there so many interpretations of how to take communion and the essential meaning of communion? If God really wrote the Bible, wouldn't it be very clear that there was one way to take communion and the essential meaning would be very clear?
Yeah, well, first, let me just say with you, John, this is a tragedy, isn't it? I mean, communion is the ordinance of our unity as God's people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, there is one bread, and we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. But you're absolutely right. You know, throughout the history of the church, this issue has been one of the most dividing issues for Christians, especially since the time of the Reformation. And I think, you know, there might be two reasons for this. One, sometimes it isn't that the Bible is unclear, it's that we as sinners are not clear. You know, you have to factor in the reality of human sin. Sometimes we just have a hard time understanding what God has clearly said because we're blinded by our own sins. And I think that's true. You know, sin affects our mind, the way we think. But here's another thing. We're also talking about a great mystery of the faith here, aren't we? I mean, this is a sacrament of the church. Now, I sometimes throw that word sacrament around, and it might be unfamiliar to you, but it really just means mystery. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are the mysteries of our faith. They're ways that the Spirit of God is powerfully working mysteriously in our midst, in our churches. Now, let me be vulnerable with you for a minute right now. I mean, I miss communion. It's been so many weeks now since we've celebrated the Lord's Supper together as a body because of the coronavirus, and it's one of the things that I long for, that I miss the most in the midst of everything going on. And that might sound a little weird to you. You know, a lot of churches take communion less frequently, maybe once every several months, but in the Lord's Supper, we have a special kind of fellowship with Jesus. You know, Paul said again, going back to that passage in 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 16, he said, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? It doesn't get any more clear than that. And I want to say something to you. In many of our evangelical churches, we have downplayed the importance of baptism and communion. We've treated them as empty signs. Take them or leave them. When through them, God wants to bless us with his presence. They are gifts. And John, you're right. Sadly, we often fight over God's gifts, or we just neglect them. I think about my kids. Bill, I'm sure you could think about your kids in this regard too. You know, sometimes I'll buy them something and they'll have fun with it for a while until it becomes a source of contention. And then they start, instead of enjoying it, you know, fighting over it and hurting each other. Or I'll buy them a toy, and I find it gathering dust under the bed a few weeks later. We do the same thing. We fight over God's gifts, or we neglect them. What we should do is embrace Jesus and his work through them. And that's what baptism and communion exhibit to us. It's Jesus. So, John, I mean, my heart breaks because of this as well, but I think the Bible is clear. In the Lord's Supper, we have a special communion with Jesus, and we should cherish it.
Great response, Adriel. And John, thank you so much for your question. You're listening to Core Christianity, and we'd love to get your question. You can call us at 833-THE-CORE. By the way, you can call us 24 hours a day. We have a special voicemail set up, or you can go to our website at corechristianity.com/radio, and you'll see a little microphone there where you can leave your question. You can also email us at questions@corechristianity.com. And let's go to our next call.
My name is Lauren from Oakland. A friend of mine who is not Christian asked me what I think Christianity has to offer the world. What I think he meant was, what does Christianity have to offer that other things do not? And I just wanted to hear what you guys might say to that. Thank you.
Hey, Lauren, thank you for your question, or for your friend's question. What I would say is Christianity is the revelation of how God has conquered our biggest problem, sin and death. And maybe your friend, you know, doesn't think sin is a problem. A lot of people in our world today don't think sin is a problem, but everyone is aware of the problem of death, especially in these days. We don't turn on the news today without hearing how many people have died in our city, in our state, in our country. You know, millions of dollars are spent every year by Silicon Valley companies looking for ways to extend human life. We're in the fight against death as humanity. There's this atheist writer. He's a professor at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. He wrote a book called Homo Deus. And the whole book, I read it a couple of years back, but it's about how we're in this sort of fight against death, and we're seeking to win in the fight against death through technology, through science, through medicine. We recognize as people that death is a huge problem. Mortality is an issue that we all face. And in the gospel, God confronted death. Nowhere else do we have the solution to this problem but in Jesus and in the gospel. I just preached on Mark chapter 5 when Jesus heals the woman with the flow of blood. It's a really wonderful and encouraging story. And in her story is sandwiched in between another story, the story of Jairus. He's a rich synagogue official who goes to Jesus to have Jesus heal his 12-year-old daughter who is about to die. What's so interesting about that passage is I was preaching on that text and thinking about it throughout the week is you have two people who are sort of at opposite ends of society. You have this rich synagogue ruler, Jairus, who would have been a pillar in that society. And then you have this poor woman who isn't even named in the text, who would have been a pariah in the society. I mean, she's unclean, the text tells us. She has this flow of blood, this hemorrhage for 12 years. And you know what unites them? The problem of mortality, death. She's afraid she's going to die. The rich man has this daughter who's about to die. It's sort of interesting in the text. She's had her issue for 12 years, and the rich man's daughter is 12 years old. It seems like, you know, in God's providence, we're being shown that they both, despite all their differences, have this problem, this 12-year-old problem that only Jesus can fix. Christianity doesn't promise us riches per se or an easy life. It promises us the resurrection of our bodies and eternal life. And more than that, this is where the good news gets even better. Through Jesus, it promises us a new creation. You know, I bet, Lauren, that your friend is willing to say that the world is broken. There's disease, death, famine, war. God sees all of that. And you know what? He's promised to deal with it. He isn't just saving our spirits. He's ushering in a new creation whereby he makes every wrong right. What does Jesus offer to the world? What is offered to the world that Christianity has that no other religion has? It's new creation. It's no longer being tainted by sin and death. And I mentioned how we often downplay baptism and the Lord's Supper. We also downplay the gospel. The gospel is unique to Christianity. You won't find it anywhere else because nowhere else has God conquered sin in Jesus. You don't find that in Islam. You don't find that in Buddhism. You don't find an answer to those greatest problems. And so what I would tell your friend is Christianity has everything to offer to the world. It offers the world new creation.
Beautiful response, Adriel and Lauren. Hopefully you can share that with your friend. You're listening to Core Christianity. I'm Bill Meyer with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and we have a special offer this month. It's a wonderful Bible study on the book of Romans, and here to tell us more about that is our good friend, Dr. Michael Horton.
As we reflect on the difficulties families, churches, businesses, our nation, and basically all people around the world right now are facing, having a sure confidence in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and in his resurrection on our behalf is absolutely critical. We aim to answer the hard, unsettling questions of our times with both skeptics and committed Christians in mind. We want to give answers that not only show why Christianity is true, but also why it's good and beautiful. Your support alongside the work of our team is making a real difference in people's lives, a difference in helping others to live with hope, joy, and confidence. And that difference is eternal. So please consider sending a gift right now to help us continue. As a thank you gift for $20 or more, we'll send you our brand new Core Christianity Bible study on Paul's letter to the Romans. To make a gift and receive this study on Paul's letter to the Romans, head on over to corechristianity.com. That's corechristianity.com. On behalf of the entire team at Core Radio, thanks for your support.
Yeah. Oh, man. I am so excited about this study in the Book of Romans. I know these studies have been beneficial to many people, even people in my own church. And one of the things we want to see here at Core Christianity is you grow in your knowledge of the scriptures. I mean, that's what it's all about. The scriptures lead us to Jesus, strengthening our faith. In fact, Paul said in the Book of Romans, chapter 10, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. So take advantage of this offer in getting your hands on this Bible study on the Book of Romans. I know it will bless you.
If you want to learn more, you can call us at 833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. Or just go to our website, and that is corechristianity.com/radio. We have an email that came in from Carl Adriel, and Carl says, with all the things that have been happening in our world, I'm really looking forward to Jesus's return, but I'm also really struggling with falling into a feeling of pessimism about things, and I'm wondering if maybe I'm falling off the side of the horse here. Thank you for your show. It's been a continual source of encouragement for me.
Hey, Carl, you know, I'll be honest with you. There are times where I get discouraged too, but what gives me hope, you know, what keeps me on the horse, I guess, even though I don't really ever ride horses, but it's that Jesus is still building his church despite everything. That's a promise that you can take to the bank. You know, society may crumble, but the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. I can't say the same thing about earthly societies. Because you are a citizen of Christ's kingdom, though, even though we're discouraged, we don't have to be despairing. I'll tell you one thing that's really encouraging me right now in the midst of everything going on is connecting with people who are hearing the gospel for the first time. People who maybe never go to church, but who for whatever reason have decided to tune into the countless live stream services or Bible teachings that are taking place now as churches are trying to get creative to think about how to get the word of God out. And one of the things that this does is it just reminds me of how God in his providence, in his mercy, can use difficult situations like the one that we're in to reveal Jesus to people, to bring the gospel to those who need hope. And so, Carl, I think that, you know, are there a lot of discouraging things around us? Yes. Are we, am I, you know, tired of the sort of stay-at-home orders? Man, totally. I want to go outside to the beach and hang out with friends and family. But there are also things that we can lay hold of that give us hope, namely Jesus, the promise that he gives to us in his word, that his kingdom is still going to keep advancing, and the fact that that is happening everywhere around us. So I would say, every time, you know, you have that sense of pessimism, ask yourself, where am I placing my hope right now? Am I placing it in this earthly society that we live in our government? You know, I think of Psalm 118, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. And that's true. It was true then. It's true now. We want to pray for our governing officials. We want to pray for our country that the Lord would be merciful to us, but we want to place our hope in God and his kingdom. And Carl, I think as we do that, it keeps us stable.
You know, Adriel, one of the things you mentioned to Carl was how beautiful it is that people are tuning in to some of these online services that churches are offering right now. And I was thinking, what a great opportunity for us to let our non-Christian friends and relatives know, hey, my church has this online streaming service every Sunday, and they're talking about the coronavirus and how, you know, God is involved in our lives. And maybe what a great opportunity for us then to say, why don't you tune in? Somebody who may never darken the door of a church might be willing to sit there in their kitchen on a computer and for the first time, maybe hear about God's love for them.
Oh, you're right. And I've seen it happen. I encourage the people in my church and say, hey, you know, share the teaching that you're going to be hearing right now. Not to sort of toot your own horn, you know, that's not what it's about. It's about getting the word of the gospel out. And it's just true that in times like this, people are more open to listening to answers from God's word because they're looking for answers. They want to know, what hope can I have in the midst of a time like this? It's just like Carl is thinking. And so, yeah, what an opportunity do you have, follower of Jesus, to point people to the hope that we have in Christ, in the gospel. What an opportunity.
This is Core Christianity. I'm Bill Meyer with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And Adriel, we have a really great group of people who support this program on a regular basis. We are listener supported, and they help keep the program on the air and let us continue to answer some of these difficult questions. You want to explain what the Inner Core is?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. And first, let me just say thank you to all of you who have joined the Inner Core. What a blessing it is for us to be able to partner together with you to get the word of the gospel out and to help instill core Christianity in the hearts and minds of people. That really is just so important. We're missing that, I think, today as a society. Many churches have forgotten the core tenets of the Christian faith. So help us to spread that word. If this program has been a blessing to you, we're listener supported, and you can join the Inner Core with a gift of $25 or more monthly. I mean, it really isn't much, and it has a huge impact on the people around us who need to hear these precious truths of the gospel. Boy, these truths that are so comforting, especially at a time like this. So thank you to those of you who have joined the Inner Core. And please, if you're encouraged by this program, I want to ask you to consider joining as well.
You can find out more by going to corechristianity.com/radio. Our phone number, if you'd like to connect, is 833-THE-CORE. That's 833-843-2673. And we have a question from Armando.
Yeah, my question, ever since we're small, we're told that God is omnipresent, and he is everywhere, which I thoroughly believe. But my question is more so, also since a child, I've been told that the devil is everywhere, ready to devour us like a lion. Now, is that to say he's omnipresent too? I have trouble believing that he has the same power as God does. Or is it more to mean that the devil and his minions are everywhere? Just if you could clear that up, please, I'd certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Armando. I mean, it sounds like you're on the right track, brother. And I'm glad you asked this question, because this is one of those things that I think a lot of people just assume, you know, that the devil, he's always watching me. He's always waiting to trip me up. But the devil is a created being. We can never forget that. You know, he's not omnipresent or all-knowing. Now, he does have henchmen, as you say, but they too are created beings. They're finite. They're not all-powerful. And that's one of the first things we need to recognize when we think about the sort of spiritual warfare that we're all in. The devil is not all powerful. I think there are two problems we can have when thinking about the devil and his minions. One, we can give him too much credit. You know, everything is spiritual warfare, finding Satan beneath every problem in your life. You know, you get a cold and you think it's demonic attack or something like that. And I think sometimes there are some Christian traditions that can fall into this trap. And what it ends up doing is, in some odd way, I think it takes the attention off of Jesus and the gospel, and it gets us focused on the devil. Now, it sounds to me like there's nothing more that he would like than that, right? I mean, what he wants to do, what the spirit of the Antichrist is doing in the world today, John tells us in 1 John, is he's confusing people about Jesus. He wants to take our eyes off of Jesus and the gospel, and he'll use anything he can in order to do that, even things that are seemingly good. Whatever he can use to take our eyes off of Jesus. The other thing is, we can not take it seriously at all. We can just think, oh, you know, there's no such thing as the devil. That's just hocus pocus. I don't think about those things. Well, that's not true either. Listen to what the Bible says. And Armando, you quoted this text in 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, begin in verse 6. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Now, isn't that just a good word for us right now in the midst of the coronavirus, casting all of our anxieties upon him because he cares for us? And so we don't want to give the devil too much credit, but we also don't want to pretend like he doesn't exist, like there isn't this reality of spiritual warfare. And then Peter says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world."
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. and be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.